This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 206. You can watch us on YouTube or on Facebook, and you can comment. And if it's something interesting, we may take the show in a different direction. Have you guys been keeping up with the Gene Hackman and his wife thing?
Little, not and too much.
The theories. So the latest theory I've heard, this was from Michael Bodden, the very famous coroner, pathologist, is that based on the information from Gene Hackman's pacemaker, that he had a heart attack, some sort of cardiac event, fell face down and was dying, and that his wife, before calling 911, ran into the bathroom to get his pills, which he thought would help him, and she fell down and died. And that's why she was surrounded by his heart pills. Mm. Now, I thought you could do an autopsy and say why someone died, but they said she could have hit her head. She didn't have any blunt force trauma, but she could have hit it in such a way that it bled inside, but you can't see it. That didn't make any sense to me. She could have had her own heart attack. And then the dog was in a kennel in a closet,
right,
and probably died of dehydration.
Right.
So that's weird.
That way, but it makes way more sense than a lot of the other stuff people were talking about.
I didn't hear any other stuff.
No, I mean, just people were making up their own stories and like,
yeah.
Was there an intruder? Was it his daughters? Like, there were all kinds of people throwing all kinds of stuff
out. And
the
big one initially was carbon monoxide.
Right,
There must have been a carbon monoxide leak because that's something that can kill you in a way where you look at the scene and go, how on earth did these people die?
I'm sorry, the dog was in a closet?
Well, it was something.
So, I don't know for sure. I don't know how the place is, but the dog was in its crate, in its crate, which might have been in the bathroom. And there's I don't know how
the closet could have been. It could be a master bedroom.
And it could also be open, not like a closed door type thing. So I don't know. Like, it's not uncommon for people who crate their dogs to have the crate somewhere kind of out of the way of things, and in their own room, so they're not in their bedroom with you or whatever. It's not totally uncommon.
Razor's Edge?
Yeah, I want to talk about rude people today.
Okay, let's do it.
I don't know. Lately, I've been kind of thin-skinned lately. Things have been getting under my skin. It's a me problem. I need to get over it. But one thing that really bothers me is when I'm being polite and I'm taking the extra step to be like, please, thank you, oh, I appreciate you, blah, blah, blah. And then that's not reciprocated in any way. Not that I need praise or someone to be super polite, but just the bare minimum of oh, yeah, no problem. You know, like acknowledging the fact that I've said thank you or something.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, do people who are rude on a consistent basis, do they care that I think they're rude? And should I even try to, work this out in my mind, or should I just go, okay, they're rude, and move on with my day? Because I have a tendency to be like, well, how could I have done that differently? Or maybe if I pointed out how rude they were being, they would stop being so impolite. But is that just what people who are purposely rude want?
So I'm not rude, but I have many other character flaws, and I'm trying to think of my character flaws, and if I, for example, I can be unreliable, like just not in big ways, but like, hey, Dave, will you do that project for me? Absolutely, buddy. Being very nice, not rude at all. Forget about it. And then not do the project. I think that rude people in particular, you'd have a hard time convincing them that they're being rude. Mm-hmm. I think they think that they are just direct and you're just a pansy. And why are you such a snowflake?
Yeah, and I mean, that could very well be it. I'm willing to admit I can be overly sensitive at times. I can be looking, like, if I'm in a negative headspace, I will take different things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other times where it's just like, okay, that's rude. That's really rude. And especially in, like, a professional setting, you kind of want to call it out. But then it's like, then do I just look like a chump for saying anything?
You probably have that... what was it called? It was called rejection, reaction, dysphoria.
Where, what's that?
Basically, you take things way too hard.
Yeah.
And I have that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But because when I read about it, I'm like, that's me. But it's evidently a real thing that if I say something a little salty at Kevin and he's just like, okay, and walks away, whereas you might stew on it.
Yeah.
And so I'm a Stewart.
And I think both of our personality types, that's exactly what would happen. Wheels would be like, okay. And yeah. I would be like, why is Dave so rude to me?
Well, but like even given that, and actually to drive home the point, though, I am the opposite of that. It's not going to sit with me, and I'm not going to care about it in 2 seconds, but I see exactly what you're talking about literally every day.
Yeah.
People are always, there are so many people that are just in their own head. And not aware of anything around them. And that, to me, is the ultimate rudeness.
Mm.
The ultimate rudeness. The Costco people that are going to stop in the middle of the aisle to get their sample and not realizing there's 9 people behind them moving.
You see it at the grocery store.
You know, the grocery store is the same dynamic. You hold the door for somebody, they walk by and they don't say thanks or any kind of acknowledgement that you even stood there and held a door. Sorry, Andrew, but blocking up the left lane of traffic because I'm just not paying attention or I'm on my phone or I don't care. Like, all of those forms of rudeness exist and are real. It doesn't mean it's directed at you,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the thing, is it's not a personal thing. But I think that the worst form of rudeness is just not being conscious that your actions impact everyone around you.
Yeah. I always feel so bad when I'm rude. My dad was kind of rude.
Yeah.
And it always made me uncomfortable. And so, like I always say, you don't make Jack Glover ask for ketchup twice. And so I'm kind of the opposite. And the other day, heading into work, I had something going on and it was all active. And I know you're not supposed to be looking at your phone when you drive, but I was breaking the law and I was stopped at a stoplight. And I was just looking at what someone had texted me. And then someone honked because it had turned green. And I chewed on that all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
But on yourself.
Feeling bad, yeah.
Yeah, see, yeah. That's a different thing, because there are people that'll hear that, and then they'll flip you off.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you're the one at a light not moving. Don't be flipping me off because I woke your ass up. Like, and when I screw up, because I know I do, I always acknowledge, like, my bad. I will wave to that person. I'll say, listen, my fault. You got me. Sorry.
And we've said this before. The wave
saves it all.
Needs to be implemented in life in general.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Be like, my bad.
There are few violations in life that you can't go, me, that
think
was me.
Think of how much that just calms everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It immediately takes the temperature down 50 degrees, where people start to get heated. And as soon as you acknowledge, yep, I know I screwed up, my bad. Other people are like, all right, good. You know, let's move on with mm-hmm. the day. But it's nothing but escalation. Not nothing, but it's way more just escalating now. How dare you be rude enough to tell me that I'm being rude by not paying? Like, okay, do what you're supposed to and pay attention, or don't be surprised if someone tweets you with a horn.
I learned something really interesting back in my legal career, where I ended my legal career doing a lot of mediation. So I was doing shuttle mediation. So you and Rachel are suing each other, and you're having trouble coming to a settlement. So we go to a place, you're in one room, Rachel's in the other. I'm going back and forth between the two of you. And let's say that, Kevin, you are the aggrieved party. I saw this happen dozens of times. You vent to me, and I really listen to you. Mm-hmm. I'm looking you in the eye. I'm listening to you. I'm repeating it back. I'm validating what you've been through. Once that happens, I would see people physically slump out of relief. And then you could get a case settled. Mm-hmm. Because in the legal field, much like many other areas of life, you're just sniping at each other, and you're not even listening to what the other person's saying. You're thinking of your next missile you're going to fire. And when someone who cares listens to you, it takes so much of the poison out of it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel right now, just talking to you guys about this conversation. It's not like one thing that's been bothering me. It's more like little things happen, and then I go, am I crazy? Am I the only one who notices this? And I think it's because I project my own sensibilities onto other people, and I think, man, for me to respond in that way, I would have to be in a bad mood. I'd have to be mad at that person. I would have to be trying to be intentionally a certain way. But that's just not true. Like, especially what Wheels is saying, like, people are rude, but I shouldn't take it so personally. I know that. But it's just good to hear from you guys. It's like, all right, yeah, it's a thing, but like, relax. You're kind of like, at a certain point, I'm creating a much bigger problem by chewing on it all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, like, I know that I'm rude at times, but I'm not rude usually as the initiator. I'll be rude back to someone that's being nasty or being dumb or whatever. If somebody's like not replying, well, then you're going to get that back. I'm going to give back the energy that I get, right? If you're nice, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be friendly. But if I'm getting that kind of rude vibe, well, then I'm going to give it back to you. I'm not saying that's what I want to do. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that's how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that I understand I'm weird, but I understand that's how I'm wired.
I don't think that's weird. I think that's how most people are. Like,
it's appropriate.
Yeah, I think it is appropriate. And I think the reason why I wrestle with it so much is because when I'm getting that energy after I've put out like what I think is positive, friendly, professional energy, and then I get back like very rude, very like not matching what I'm putting out there, then I go like, all right, fine, I'm gonna start being like that to you. But then how at that point, am I better than that person anymore?
I had a thing yesterday. I kind of complained about it to you guys, where I sent Phoebe a bouquet of flowers for her birthday yesterday. I paid an extra $20 to have them delivered by 1 p.m. They didn't get delivered by 1 p.m. At 3 or 4 p.m., they're still trying to trace it down. And the guy I was talking to said, well, the problem is you didn't give us her phone number. And that's why we didn't get it delivered. You guys may remember me bitching about this the week before.
A couple days ago.
Because I was fighting with the person and on email, and they're like, well, what's your email? I'm like, you just emailed me at it, you idiot. But I was able to immediately screenshot this email from them 4 days before that says, the recipient's phone number has been successfully updated to Phoebe's number. Your order will be delivered as scheduled. And I'm like, ah!
Got him.
And it was so satisfying. And then they never admitted they were wrong.
That's frustrating.
Like, the reason they gave me that it wasn't delivered on time, I was able to refute in writing instantly with their own email. At that point, don't you go, we're so sorry. What can we do?
Yeah, I mean, up until the very recent past, that's the way customer service worked, right? But now it just feels like culturally there is this shift where it is kind of just like okay to be rude, and it's okay to never admit defeat and never admit that you're wrong. That is a viable strategy to move forward in life for a lot of people.
And I always want to threaten people with the show. I've only done it once. in a time like that when someone screwed me over on something like that. And I didn't literally do the "do you know who I am," but I'm just like, well, I'll just put this on my social media and I have millions of podcasters and all this kind of thing. And the person couldn't have cared less. Could not have cared less. Mm-hmm. And then I just walked away feeling stupid. So I haven't done that since. You ever pulled the "do you know who I am," Wheeler?
No, I've never said it. I've never pulled it out that way. Like, where I've had people recognize and say, "Oh, hi," and you know, I got out of a speeding ticket that way one time because the guy was a listener.
Probably because you're hot.
But no, I've wanted to do the whole "can't wait to talk about this on 50,000 Red Hot Watts," but I haven't done it yet.
Do it sometime today.
One day.
DGS. Lisa Hensel says, "Hope you got your $28 back for on-time delivery. If it were me, I just see that as a challenge to get my $20 back, and I would get it." No, Lisa, that's Phoebe's mom. She's good at stuff like that. I just want to make you feel bad. Yeah, I just want to be like, "What's up with that?" And they're like, and as soon as they're like, "Well, what can we do? Can we just refund your $20? I'm like, "Oh, that's okay. I just wanted a bitch."
You know what? Here's an extra $20 for the
bitch. Yeah, give me 40. Give me 40. That'll make me better.
No, when we used to go like to Mexico and Jamaica and stuff, I wouldn't even unpack my bags until we were in the fourth room. Like, it would just be like, "This is unacceptable." And I'm like, what kind of guy are you?
Middle, like in between those two things. I can tolerate minor things that are not going to be right. But like, if the temperature's not right, like if, like, say the AC's not working or whatever, I'm out. If it smells like smoke, I'm out. Like, immediately going down to the desk and be like, "Nope, sorry." No, so it's in between. Like, but a little thing, like, honestly, sometimes even I'm like, "The TV doesn't work. I don't care. I'm just going to be here to sleep. I don't really give a crap about the TV."
You know, I don't think I've ever, like, sent something back at a restaurant, or even if they get my order wrong, I'm just like, "Oh, you know what? That does sound good." Like, I just kind of go with the flow. Yeah, generally.
I will definitely send stuff back, but it's got to be just, like, wrong, not like, if it's a little, if I ordered medium and you gave me medium rare, I'm like, "I'm not sending that back. That's fine." I usually order medium rare anyway. But the point is, if it's just a little off, it's still going to be fine. Now, you bring me a well-done steak, I want another one. Give me that. I'm just not going to eat it first and then complain about it.
Yeah. Arlen King says, "Great choice of tunes, Dave." Thank you, Arlen. I did this last night. Sitting on my couch.
Did homework for the show.
I did do homework for the couch. From the couch. Yeah, I was going through TikTok, and they play me a lot of music, and R.E.M.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw maybe half of a documentary the other day. I think I was on Prime, that is about, and I'm spacing on the names, but it's about a lot of the bands that sprung up in the early 90s around the grunge thing, and it was like R.E.M. was a part of it. They're not all heavy bands. It was a mix of different types of bands, like Garbage and things like that, and how they were all like basically nobodies, and then all of a sudden everybody wanted them because Outside then became cool. That's when alternative became cool, and then it all just went away like really fast. It was like this like 10-year window, and then nobody wanted it anymore. Yeah,
weird time. 235 DGS.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On KMOX. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in to Facebook and YouTube. And thanks for telling your friends about the show. If you have, we appreciate that. You can podcast it. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app and pause it and rewind it and all that kinds of stuff. Okay, let's talk about the address to Congress, not a State of the Union, but kind of, you know, basically the same thing. Last night, I know all you guys have thoughts about it. You shared them on the Google Doc. I'll go first and say that it went about the way I thought it was going to go. You know, like we kind of have our sea legs now, you know, and it went about the way I thought it was going to go. I was surprised that the president said, I'm taking back the Panama Canal. That seems like the kind of thing you think in your head, you don't say. And then the Greenland thing saying, like, we're going to get it one way or the other. It's just shocking to see a modern day president, maybe the old guys did it all the time, but talking about acquiring land and taking things back and so forth. I thought that the Democrats were embarrassing. Their little false signs and all that kind of stuff. They just can't find their ass with both hands. They don't know if they're coming or going. They don't know what to do. And so it was just last night to me was a perfect picture of the parties. You had the Republicans who are all standing tall and dickish, and they're just like, blah, 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 blah. And then the Democrats, you're like, false, false, you know. It's like,
true.
Jeez. You know? Like this. What?
Yeah, I'm not one of those people who is like, oh, Donald Trump, he's playing 4D chess. He's one step ahead of us at every moment. I don't think that's the truth at all. But he is pretty good at outmaneuvering the Democrats as far as in the middle
gotta
of the speech.
He
said, hey, I could do anything. I could cure cancer and these people wouldn't stand up and clap for me. And then they didn't clap for one single thing. It's like, yeah I mean, that is a trap that he sets up that you fell into by deciding to do your little, like, we're going to resist Donald Trump. Well, then why did you even show up? You shouldn't have even showed up. That, mm-hmm. Like, what did you do last night? What did you accomplish for me?
They, in my opinion, the Democrats have to let go of the 1960s. Yeah. They have to let go of the sit-in sort of mindset that worked. It worked really well, and it hasn't worked since. And so you are up against a juggernaut. You're not up against Newt Gingrich. You are up against a force of nature, and you are going to have to do something other than protest, I think. And I don't know what that is. Above my pay grade, I don't have advice for them. But what they're doing now is just making them look weak. Wheels, thoughts?
Yeah, I'm watching last night, and I feel like I'm watching The Real World on MTV. We're just a clown-ass reality show. And by we, I mean just the country at this point. That's all we are. I mean, we're unserious people. We are children that are being led by other children. There's no decorum. There's no respect. There's no creativity. There's no restraint. Nothing. It's just naked partisanship. It's just bragging and yelling and whining and all this nonsense. And if kids, if children acted the way that everybody acted last night, including the people that were quote unquote in charge, they'd get punished. I got punished when I acted like that. When I was talking too much crap or braggy or whatever. And I got punished when I was whiny and complain. We're not serious. We are basically Twitter. Twitter is the United States of America at this point. We can't even agree that we should be okay and be nice to each other. We can't even agree on that. We have one side of this, one group of people right now that just wants to bully people. And we got other people and they just want to whine about it. You cannot say this side is a threat to everything. And like, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to wear pink jackets. That's not an appropriate response if that's what you think is happening. If that's what you think is happening, you better be mobilizing your asses and using the tools that you have as members of one of the three most powerful branches of government in the world to actually fight back against what you say is terrible. And we got to, what I can't take about what I heard from not just the president, but that worldview. Well, we won, so we're just going to bully the crap out of everybody. That's not how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. That's not how it. When you win in the United States, when you win an election, it doesn't mean you get to dictate to the rest of the country everything you want. You still have to negotiate. You still have to go through the legislative process. You still have to follow the law. And we don't have anybody serious about anything. Oh, they're taking on serious topics, but we don't even have it. We can't even agree that it is ludicrous, ludicrous that we have put the richest man in the world who gets billions of dollars in government contracts in charge of cleaning up government contracts. That's insane. But we can't even agree that that's insane.
Jake says, bad winners and losers on both parties. No humility, just none. Too bad Romney lost in 2012. I think we'd have a different world today. Yeah, man, that was my Republican Party. You know, like I've had a weird journey. And my mom and dad were both staunch union Democrats. And so I figured I was a Democrat. And like when I was in college and law school, it seemed like the Republican kids didn't get laid very much. So I'm like, OK, well, I'm definitely a Democrat. And then when I started my radio show in 2000, it was Bush Gore and the hanging chads and all that stuff. And I remember thinking the Democrats were just real weenies. You know, and, you know, you get married, you have kids, you know, you save a couple dollars, you have a couple dollars taken from you, and you become more conservative. And so I kind of was, even though I was an artistic, tattooed, non-religious conservative, which is pretty rare.
Yeah.
Like a South Park conservative, I was called myself. But then when MAGA came along, I'm like, nah, I'm definitely not this. And it's a weird place to be. You know, you say, like, I'm a man without a country. I'm on an island over here. But I really am.
Yeah.
Like, there is just, I really hope at some point in my life, I can go to the polls on election day and with a full-throated, stick my chest out and pull a lever or fill in a little dot for someone who I really believe in.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of people who get to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sorry if this is going back to our last conversation. If this is rude, I'm sorry. I don't think those people exist. I think anybody that buys into anyone in national politics right now, you're doing it because you emotionally want to. There's nobody there that's fighting for us. Nobody. They might think they are, but who they're really fighting for are their largest donors that keep them in positions of power, that keep them in office, because that is their primary goal. And I mean, they look, there may be a few exceptions. I think the exceptions are on the other side. I think the small minority of people that are there actually care and try to do good. There are probably people that do, but they are in the tiny minority. You got a bunch of climbers, a bunch of greedy jerks that want to use that position to advance themselves, to make money in the stock market, because they all do. Everybody in Congress is getting rich in the stock market. It's not, that's not new, and that's not me just making stuff up. You can look it up. They all leave way richer than when they got there.
Yeah.
Why do you think they want to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think they want to please the people that give them the most money for their campaigns? So they can stay and they can enrich themselves and they can have the ego and the power and everything else. They are not, by and large, the people in Congress, and I'll say presidents on either side of the aisle, I don't care what level, national politics, they're not looking out for me. They don't care about me, because if they did, they wouldn't do what they're doing. They wouldn't act the way that they do.
Why do you think the old people who've already amassed, like in Pelosi's case, hundreds of millions of dollars?
Perfect example.
And none of them have less than 20 million. But people like Pelosi, who's 80, Chuck Grassley, who died 7 years ago, and they just keep wheeling his body out there. Like, wouldn't you want to spend your final days with your family?
Well, that means it's just so much sweeter than we even realize.
It's so much sweeter than your grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be dead in a few years.
Yeah.
Go home.
But the power is addictive. And again, we play this game where we think that it's only the people that we don't vote for are the bad ones.
Yeah.
If you think that, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Because every one of them could change laws or work to change laws that would benefit the 90% of us that are just normal, regular working people. But they don't. They don't. They keep kissing the asses of these guys like Bezos and Elon. And I saw an economist who, by the way, this economist in his own right is a multi-millionaire. He's a super wealthy guy. You could pay I'm going to get it wrong a little bit, so maybe I'll try to find this clip, but I saw him in an interview. You could essentially pay out Social Security for the next 75 years if only the 1% of the wealthiest people in the country actually paid income tax instead of all the ways they have to get around it. Hmm. So we talk about these shortcomings, and we have shortcomings because we have these caps, these artificially put in caps. Well, if you make above this, you don't get to pay. You don't have to pay that anymore. Why? Why are we protecting the people that don't need to be protected? But we're not protecting anybody's grandparents, and we're not protecting anybody that's a farmer in Nebraska, and we're not protecting anybody else that needs it. But we're going to protect those people. And you know why? Because they're the ones that give the money to the people in Congress.
Welcome back, DGS. Jerry says, oh my God, someone give Wheels a Valium. Guy's going to have a heart attack.
That was nothing.
I just wrote back in there too. I'm like, man, that's just a 5 out of 10 on my rage meter.
Jerry, I've seen him do that over the level of carrots and fried rice.
Dude, put it this way. If you're watching on video and I didn't throw or break anything, then it's no more than a 5.
Yeah.
If I'm breaking things, then I might be getting up to an 8.
Don't do that.
10, I might pass out.
Andrew, you're quiet today. I know you had an ordeal at KFC earlier. Is that has affected you so much?
It is. It has been affecting me today, I think, a little bit.
Were they rude?
They were.
Well,
they
there
were
you go.
Super duper rude. Sorry, I just got to a 5 out of 10 on the rage meter. I went through KFC.
And you drove.
And I drove because, you know, snowy, windy, blizzardy out. So I get there and, you know, I ordered it 15 minutes ago. So, of course, when I pull up, they're like, it's not ready yet, because they don't start on it until you get there. Even if you order it online and they say, OK, now it's ready, come get it. And then you go there and they're like, oh, we haven't even thought about that. Whenever I say I'm here to pick that order up on the screen right there, they're usually like, what are you talking about?
And you ordered me a grilled breast because I'm a girl.
Yes, I ordered some grilled chicken. So they told me, go pull around to the side. And I'm thinking, all right, well, that's already a death sentence today. Because I know that the KFC, which every time I go in there is staffed by an entirely new staff of people. They have a 100% daily
turnover rate.
And so I'm like, there's no way that they are walking out in this blizzard to walk half a block to bring me this chicken. So I sit there for another 15. Yep, doesn't happen. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go back through the drive-thru and see if it's ready. So I go back through, not ready yet. So I get up to the window, and they say, well, we don't have any grilled chicken. And I say, okay, so you haven't even looked at it yet. You're just now looking at it for the first time. And the tension's kind of boiled over a bit. Things got a little testy because lady comes back to the window, and she says, all right, I'm going to have you go up and pull around off to the side there. And I just say, look, all right, listen. I ordered half an hour ago, I ordered two pieces of chicken and two chicken sandwiches. I just give them to me. I just need them. Just give them. I'm not going to move. I'm going to sit right here at this window. Just get the stuff. And she said, well, what do you want me to do? And I said, well, I want you to give me the food. I want you to give me what I ordered half an hour ago.
Good for you.
It's like the smallest order. And I said, I'm just gonna sit right here at this window. There's nobody even in line behind me. But if you want this window to move, you're going to have to give me my food. And then she said, oh, yeah, you're going to sit there. And so then I thought, oh, they're just going to throw the food in the trash, and I'm just going to be sitting here all day. So I texted Rachel at that point. I was like, okay, yeah, we're never getting our food. That's not happening.
And so then I had ordered a breast,
because
I only like breasts, and what they gave me was a thigh that tasted like my own thigh. Like, it was,
I knew, too.
I may be done with KFC downstairs for a while.
I knew, too. I'm very ready to be done with them. And I knew when it happened. I knew at the time, too. I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
What's up, Rich? We're about to crash their stock.
I know.
No kidding.
You're depending
your
on
sales
us,
are going to go down 50%.
Can't we work this out? Oh, my God.
And your dad scared you last night?
Yeah, so I'm in bed. It's 10:30. I'm in bed. I usually go to bed a little later than that, but I've been under the weather, so I've been going to bed earlier. Excuse me. And so I am laying there. Let's be real. I'm having my hour and a half of requisite lay in bed and stare at my phone time. I'm not actually sleeping, but I am not wearing any clothes because I'm sleeping. I'm in bed. My wife is next to me. She's fast asleep. My dad calls.
Does she know you're naked?
Yes. Well, actually, no, because she went to bed first, so I guess she technically wouldn't. My dad calls, and he says, where are you at? Yeah, all he says is, where are you at the house tonight? And I'm like, whose house? Your house? He's like, yes. And I'm like, no, I not at all. I wasn't. And he was just getting home. He had been out of the house for, like, all day. And he said, oh, no. And so I'm like, what's going on, Dad? And he's like, the upstairs. So he has a upstairs. He said, the upstairs light is on.
Uh-oh.
But there's no reason that it should be on, and he hasn't been home all day. So he's getting a little scared. He's starting to freak out. I'm getting a little scared. I'm like, do you want us to, we'll come over right now. Like, do you want us to, like, come over? We'll sweep the house, all that stuff. You know, I'll bring some, like, sharp sticks or whatever. We'll sweep the house, make sure there's
sharp
no...
sticks.
I think you being naked would be enough.
Intruders. And he's like, yeah, yes.
Wow.
And that scared me because I had never heard my dad before be like freaked out enough that he's like, yeah, it's 10:30 at night and you're in bed, but yeah, get over here and help me with this. So we get over there and we're in the process of sweeping the house. I'm up in the attic, got my sharpened stick, ready to just poke at whoever might be hiding behind the Christmas tree. And he tells me, oh, that's right. I remember now. I did go upstairs earlier and I turned the light on. I must have forgotten to turn it off.
Did you throw him down the stairs?
I was like, okay.
Did you get him with the stick?
Yeah, I should have poked him.
Trespassers.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.